So nice to be here among you this morning. I appreciate the congregation here working with me. I had a scheduling conflict a couple weeks ago when I was supposed to be here, but things worked out this time, and so glad to be here. For a while this morning, we want to talk on the subject that I call personal faith. And you know, if you think about that, it may cross your mind, well, what can you say about faith? Can you find enough to talk about to make it last for an entire sermon? Well, actually, there's quite a bit in the Bible about our faith, and we want to make it a little personal, so I call this our personal faith. We'll take a reading from Hebrews 11, the first three verses, which say, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." We want to discuss this for a while this morning, but before we go any further, at this time we'll ask you to humble yourself in some way as we pray. "There is power in the blood" will be the invitation song we'll extend later on this morning as we draw our study to a close. This morning we want to look at the very essence of our spiritual lives when we talk about our faith. And I thought a good way to begin this study would be to seek out a definition. So let's start out this way with a dictionary definition of faith. "Trust and confidence in and reliance upon a strongly held belief in religion or God. Allegiance to some person or thing, loyalty, a firm belief in something for which there is no proof, a religion or system of religious beliefs." And maybe I should expand a little bit on this last point. If you were to Google how many faiths are there in the world today, what number do you think you'd come up with? I know 35 years ago I did that. I looked into it. The number then was 1,300, and today that number has expanded to where I can say this: there are 4,200 faith systems in this world, and Ephesians 4 verse 5 still says the same thing. There is one faith, and it was delivered one time to the saints according to Jude verse 3. But let's move on now to the Bible definition of faith. We looked at the dictionary definition. What's the Bible definition? Well, we've already read in Hebrews 11, verse 1. "Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." So, your faith and mine is substance. It's assurance of what we believe. And our faith itself is evidence of things that we believe in, things we hope for, despite the fact that we believe in things which are invisible. Now, the skeptics might say, well, how can you have substance and evidence in something that you can't even see? Well, look at it this way. Do people believe in air? Well, sure. Everyone breathes it. Everyone feels the wind. Do we believe in gravity? Well, certainly. You drop something, it falls. So it's pretty obvious. Do we believe in heaven, in hell, in God, in Jesus, in angels? Well, of course we do. Why? Because of our faith, and the very fact that we believe is actually evidence in itself. Now, you go into the next verse. "For by it the elders obtained a good testimony." The word elders here, as it's used here, has reference to older men of, namely the Old Testament of older times. Men like Abel and Abraham and Moses and Noah and Enoch and Job, they were commended. Good things were said about them. Good testimony was given about them. A good report because of their faith. And we are the same way today. We have good reputations because of our faith. We gain God's approval by our faith. You go on to the next verse. "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." In other words, we see things that are were created by God. You know, it takes faith really to believe in the Bible creation. It does. Especially in our culture today, where we have so much efforts, many efforts being made to teach people things that are contradictory to what the Bible says. It takes faith to even believe in the creation, because this means this visible world was created by our invisible God. And as the writer says, we understand Romans 1, verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen. Physical aspects of God's creation carry spiritual meaning of his existence. We live in a vision-dependent world, don't we? Yeah, people depend on their vision to believe anything, to go forward in life. Seeing is believing, people say. But even when someone decides they believe in God based on physical evidence of something they see, even then they involve themselves with the invisible attributes of God. Now, you remember when you first came in, you looked up here and I had a picture up here, a scenic picture. It was colorful. I'm going to put it back up there. And here you can see the clouds up here. You got some sunshine, you got some mountains, you got some trees, there's some water, there's some land, and you got this colorful landscape. If you had been there when this picture was made and you looked around and you saw all of this, would it have occurred to you that the hands of men did not do any of this? This was all done by God. And we believe that because of our faith. God's invisible attributes are clearly seen. When we witness somebody being baptized into Christ, we see the invisible attributes of God displayed in a physical act of faith. As the inspired writer says, it's clearly seen. Well, now that we've defined faith, how important should faith be to us? Do you feel that maybe, well, yes, faith is important at times. I need it once in a while, but it's really not all that essential? Well, let's talk about that just a little bit. Personal faith is absolutely essential. Why? Well, because of Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You know, sometimes in life, in order to understand how important something is, it's actually helpful to us to try and imagine, what would our lives be like without this? How would things be for us if we did not hold this position or believe these things? And that's what the writer of Hebrews is doing here. What would our lives be like without personal faith? We need faith, he says, to have three important things. To believe that he is, to please him, and to believe that he rewards us for diligently seeking him. You know, it sounds to me, it's pretty obvious, isn't it? Sounds to me like our personal faith is absolutely mandatory. It is essential, isn't it? Well, let's move on. Our faith actually dictates how we live. You know, we all have a certain measure of an independent spirit within us. Maybe some of us it doesn't take as much for that to come out as others. But we all have an independent spirit within us. Have you ever told somebody, don't dictate to me, don't tell me what to do, don't tell me how to live? Well, look at it this way. The faith inside you dictates how you live. Romans chapter 1, 16 and 17, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. You think of yourself as a just person? Well, sure you do. Why? because the just live by faith. And the faith inside of us dictates how we live. Faith leads us to understand some things. We're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We recognize the gospel is the power of God, as the verses say, to save. And we are guided by the gospel to live by our faith. I was thinking just the other day about conversations I've had with people like 30, 40 years ago. And some people who were here came to mind. And I remember very clearly a lot of conversations I've had with several people who aren't here anymore. I remember the way that their voices sounded. I remember things that they said. And people like Curtis and Jack and Aubrey and Merritt and several others, Leon, James, who aren't with us anymore. I remember those conversations, they who have passed away, but I knew that they would die the same way that they lived. And they did, by faith. Our personal faith leads us to die the way that we live. We live by faith, we die by faith. You may have thought that faith is such a basic subject. It's kind of like talking about, well, the sky is blue. How much can you say about that? But it's actually not shallow at all. It's a very deep subject. It goes all the way to the core of who we are. It really does. All the way to the core of what we are and what we do and what we stand for and what we stand against. How we live until we die. Well, as we move on here, where does faith come from? Does the Bible tell you where faith comes from? Well, I believe it does. Romans 10 verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, it says. Well, the word hearing there, as it's used in this place, the word hearing means receiving. So faith comes by receiving the Word of God, and we believe what the Word of God says, and the Word changes us for the better. Have you ever thought, where would you be, where would I be, without the Word of God? Will we know what to do? Will we know what to believe? Will we know what to expect? Will we know what to hope for? Will we know much of anything about heaven or about God? Where would we be without the Word of God? What kind of faith, if any faith, would we have? I guess I'm reminded of Romans 12 and verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So you see how faith is affected by the Word of God. And what it amounts to, we can summarize by saying this. Faith from the Word is equal to changes for the better. A blind man was making his way along a sidewalk one day. He had one of those canes, I guess you call it, and he was holding it out. He was going from side to side, feeling for obstacles so he would know where to step and how to step. And there was a fellow that was watching him for a while, and the man approached him and said, "Excuse me, sir, I'm just curious. How do you do this day after day for all of your life, for as long as you have? How do you manage to get along like this?" And he says, "Well, do you remember that verse in the Bible that says, we walk by faith, not by sight? That has a lot to do with what I do to get around." And you and I remember that verse. It's in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. "For we walk by faith, not by sight." That dictates to us how we live. Faith leads to confidence in life. In Ephesians 3, 11 and 12 say this, "According to the eternal purpose which God accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him. Can you imagine praying to God without any confidence? What would that be like? Oh God, I'm not sure You can help me. I know You're limited in what You can do. I'm not sure You're even aware of what's going on with me. I'm not sure You even care. We would be talking to God the way we might talk to each other. Oh, You're limited in what You can do for me. You can't help a whole lot. And then Jesus tells us, ask and you shall receive. Knock and it shall be opened to you. We should know better than that. Remember Hebrews 4, verse 16? Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Pray boldly that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And that's when you usually pray, isn't it? When you feel there's a need. In 1 John 5, verse 4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. It may remind you of that song that we sometimes sing. Faith is a victory that overcomes the world. Well, how is our victory in Jesus described? How do we overcome the world? Well, the Bible tells us we overcome the world by our faith. Some years ago, at Harvard University, what do you know about Harvard University? When you think of that place, do you think of sports? Well, no. That's maybe the last thing you think of. You think of that place as one of the most highly intellectual institutions in the country, but they do have sports. Well, one day at Harvard, they were having a home football game. And everyone who went to play Harvard, they expected to win because they thought these people, they're too intellectual to be athletic, to be any good at sports. So we're just going to run all over them. And on this day, that was what was going on. It was a massacre. And the visiting team, they got a little bit arrogant. And they started shouting insults across the field to the fans on the Harvard side. Just one thing after another, making fun of them, mocking them, deriding them. And the Harvard fans, they were surprised. They looked at each other. And after a while, you could see them kind of huddling together, nodding their heads. And evidently, they had this chant of their own, which they knew. And they had, it sounded like they had rehearsed it. And they turned back around, and here's what they chanted back toward the other side. They said, you look at scoreboards, we look at board scores. Your victory is on this field. This field is your victory, but one day you'll be working for me. You see the difference? The other team's fans, they were looking at victory as immediate, temporary, right then and there. But the Harvard fans, they were saying, here's how we look at victory. We look down the road. We look in the future, in the distance. And what we see is a lot different from what you see. Well, in Mark 5, verse 36, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. The Bible encourages us, when we think about victory in Jesus, to look in the future, to look down the road. Now here in Mark 5, a certain man had just been informed that his daughter had died. He had come to Jesus for help when he was told about this. And his notifiers then told him, well, don't bother Jesus. After all, it's too late. She's already gone. And Jesus told the man, don't be afraid. Just believe in me. In other words, have you ever been to a funeral and you could tell that some people there were scared? You may have heard someone say to somebody else, well, what do we do now? He's gone. What are we going to do? She's died. How are we going to get by? What's going to happen to us now? But then they had the funeral. Someone got up and spoke some comforting words from the Bible. And people calmed down and settled down. And they were encouraged to feel better because they were encouraged to have some faith as they listened to those words. It was going to be all right because God was in control. The person who was lost is now in a better place, they might have believed. And people believe that God was with them and in control. Faith brings comfort. Jesus said, blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. There's a verse that you hear once in a while, but maybe you don't give a lot of thought to it. It's Luke 1, verse 37. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Have you ever thought, I'm really glad that's in the Bible. Can you imagine what it would be like if you believed that some things were impossible for God? In other words, you looked at God the way you look at me. Some things are impossible with me. A lot of things are impossible with me. But can you imagine if you thought that way about God? If we looked at God the way we look at each other? In other words, do what you can, God, but there's only so much you can do because some things are impossible with you. Well, it really helps our confidence knowing that God can do whatever He wants, that nothing's impossible with Him. Romans 8, 38 and 39 say this, for I am persuaded, I'm confident, in other words, that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth. He covers the whole gamut, doesn't he? Nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. When is the last time that you needed to hear that? Well, if you're like me, it hasn't been very long since you needed to hear that. It hasn't been long at all, in all honesty. Probably not long ago. Life can be overwhelming. As mentioned in our prayer, we all have issues. We all have problems. Issues in our lives move up the priority scale sometimes, and we forget. Well, nothing can separate us from the love of God, even when my issues go up the scale. Our faith can waver. And we seem to cast away our confidence sometimes, don't we? And we forget what Hebrews 10 and 35 tells us. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Verse 36, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. You know, something just kind of popped in my head, and I thought, I'm going to put this on the screen and read it. You may lose a lot of things in life, but don't lose your faith. We've all lost a lot of things in life, haven't we? Yeah? But don't lose your faith, no matter what else you may lose. Well, as we move on, faith leads to contentment in life. It really does. It really helps us get through life to have a strong faith. Philippians 4, 11 through 13, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned. And it sounds like he's saying, I've learned the hard way. And maybe you've learned this like I have. I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased or to be in need. And I know how to abound or to have plenty. I've been through bad times. I've been through good times. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I've seen it all, he says. And what's kept me going is my faith in Jesus. That strengthens me. No matter what happens in life, no matter how badly things may be going, we can get through the ups and the downs of life because of what we have in Jesus. When we feel spiritually weak, our spirit is low, we're encouraged to find strength in Christ and to feel better. He gives us strength and hope, and He brings us contentment because, well, we know He's there. He's there for us. And our trials are going to work together for the good. I'm reminded of 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep what I have committed to Him until that day. He's saying, I have confidence in the one that I've committed myself to, the one I've committed my soul to. Not only are we not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, He says, I'm not even ashamed to suffer for Jesus, for following Him. We know whom we believe, He says, who we believe in, and we know that God will do what He said He would do, and we know that God rewards those who diligently seek Him. You ever feel that, oh, you know, the Christian life, sometimes I have my doubts. I'm really not sure it's going to pay off. We need to be reminded of what the Bible tells us. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Well, as we get ready to close, what is the most prevalent argument you hear people make when it comes to their personal faith? Isn't it true so many are in this world are so persuaded to think that, to believe that, well, all you need is faith and nothing else. Just believe and you'll be fine. That's all there is to it. You're good to go if you believe. It's not necessary to do anything. Well, in the Scriptures, we do find another message, don't we? Faith must be accompanied by works. James 2, verse 18. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Works go with my faith, in other words, he's saying. And you could say this, works represents our personal faith. It's going to be evident. If someone has faith, they're going to have symptoms of it. There was a fellow one time that made a crude comparison, I guess. He said that someone having faith is like having chicken pox, he said. If you have chicken pox, you're going to have some symptoms. It's going to be obvious. People can see it. If you have faith, you're going to have symptoms as well. It's going to be obvious. And people can see it in your life. And the symptoms of faith are works. Faith must be accompanied by works. Works represents our personal faith. Things that you do externally show the faith you have internally. You know, I was encouraged a while back, looking on Facebook, saw a picture of the congregation at Odessa. And Darren was in the picture. And I thought, how nice, how encouraging that is to see his faith on display and his works being shown and represented in that picture. And we do that all the time in our lives. We do it every day. Our works are on display. James 2, rather, verse 24. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith. And then two verses later, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So, works go along with our faith. When you have faith, it's natural that you're going to have works that represent that, that display that. So as we summarize now, faith has substance. Faith is evidence. Faith allows us to believe in God. Faith is necessary to please God. Faith enables us to believe God is a rewarder. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Faith changes us, not for the worse, for the better. Faith leads to confidence in life. Faith leads to contentment in life. And faith is accompanied by works. So what do you think? Is faith essential? Is faith mandatory? Is faith important? Yeah, there's a lot to it. Is faith shallow or is faith deep? Does it go all the way to the core of who we are? It does, indeed. A while back, we came up with a list of things that people wanted to hear taught on in Ardenton. One thing on the list was faith. And I volunteered to talk on it, and I'm glad I did, because I guess I learned a lot. Even when you think you know a lot, you study about something, you figure out you didn't know near as much as you thought you did. We'll extend the invitation at this time. If you need to respond to the gospel call, if something is weighing on your heart and you would like the prayers of the church made on your behalf, we stand ready to help you in that way. If you want to become a member by being baptized, we will stand ready to assist you in that method as well. We'll ask you to stand now as together we sing.